First Peter chapter 4 this morning. We're going to follow an outline. Does anyone need a yellow outline, half sheet outline? If you raise your hand, we'll make sure Chuck gets you one. Okay, that's great. First Peter chapter 4. We're going to continue our study in verses 7 through 11. How to live with the end in view. Exile Living 101, we're calling this. Thanks. And thank you, Angela, for playing the piano for us. We appreciate that a whole lot. Thank you so much. God has gifted us with four sons. Some of you know that, some of you don't. We have four sons. My oldest, Samuel, is a pastor up in Goshen, New York. Very proud of him. My second-born, Jonathan, is a CPA down in Greenville. We are proud of him as well. My fourth-born son is Daniel down in Greenville. They like Greenville. They all went to Bob Jones and CPA. Very proud of him. And my youngest son, Joey, is down in Greenville as well, doing CPA stuff, flying all around. And my son, Dan, just likes to give gifts. And a while ago, just recently, I think, he gave me two large bottles of, expensive cologne. You know, I'm one of those brute kind of guys, the cheap stuff. And he gave me two large, very large bottles of expensive men's cologne. And be honest with you, too nice for me to use. So I wanted to keep the cellophane in there and just put them away. And I don't know for when I was going to use it. But I don't know. We got one bottle out during COVID because my wife said she has COVID. She can't smell anything. So we'll see if that's true. So we got out this high-powered stuff, stuck it under her nose. She couldn't smell. You must have COVID. All right. Anyhow. But my son called me and he asked me, he said, "Dad, are you using the polo? Are you using the polo?" I said, hang on a second. I got out, put some on. Yeah, I'm using it. So, and you know what I'm talking about here. But I should have figured out this a long time ago, that I demonstrate honor and gratitude to my son when I use and enjoy his gifts. All right? I demonstrate gratitude and honor to Dan when I put on his polo. He's not looking for anything in return. He's just looking for that gratitude and that honor. And we're going to see that in chapter 4 this morning, because a main point I want to make, and I wrote it down in your little outline in case your mind drifts off and you're thinking about fireworks. They started that in my neighborhood last night. That's a lot of fun. If you're thinking about the hot dogs and everything else today, one of the main points we want to look at is this, that I honor the giver. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, by actually using his gifts. In fact, when I am actively using the grace gifts that Christ has given us, we are really worshiping. We really don't think of it that way, but we're really worshiping. I honor the giver by actually using his gifts. Let's follow along as I read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11 again. And thanks so much for being with us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7, where Peter writes, "But the end of all things is at hand. Everything is all set to go. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Verse 9, "Be hospitable to one another without what?
Grumbling."
Yeah. And here's the verses we want to really look at this morning. As each one, every believer has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory, the dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Follow your notes here a little bit. The necessary perspective that we were reminded of in verse 7, Peter tells us that, as we just mentioned, the end of all things is at hand. Everything is all set to go. That's the period we're currently living in. Christ may be back at any time. And you know what this means? We didn't talk about this last week. This means that serious judgment is right around the corner. Serious judgment. God will judge. The message of 2 Peter is, God is patient. Because everyone's out there saying, where's the coming judgment? Where's the coming judgment? God is patient, not willing that any should perish, that all will come to redemption. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, Paul says this. Paul writes, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. That's coming judgment. We persuade men. Well, John the Baptist came on the scene with that very message. And this should really disturb me. It should disturb you, because there's people all over the place. They're celebrating today. They're all over the place who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, we hear the word hell mentioned a lot these days, particularly on talk radio. Hell is a real thing. And those who refuse to bow the knee to Christ, those who do not trust Christ as Savior, will end up there one day. And we need to warn people to flee from the wrath to come. That's a necessary perspective. My father had a car he only drove on Sunday. I know some of you around here have a car you only drive on special occasions. You hide it in the garage and cover it up and everything. Well, Dad had this 1950 Ford. He only used it on Sunday, and the unpardonable sin would be to ever lean on that car. Your dad have a car like that? No. Really? I see sometimes people jumping on cars. I'd get thrown out for that. But he had a sticker on this car. He had a stick bumper sticker, and the silver sticker said, "Prepare to meet God," because you're either going to meet him as father or you're going to meet him as judge. And when you meet him as judge, that's it. And the question we need to ask, even in the church, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet God? And the only way to be ready to meet God is making sure your faith is in Christ and Christ Jesus alone. Then Peter gives us four and very succinct priorities for this period of waiting. These are worth committing to memory. We want to keep going over these and over these and over these. These are very important. I've tried to slow down a little bit to look at them in detail a little bit. So far, we covered three of them. Number one is prayer in verse 7. Peter says, there's a serious call for self-control for the purpose of prayer. And that means, I believe that includes petitioning the Holy Spirit to quicken dead hearts. Pray for evangelism. Pray for the lost. Pray for gospel progress and revival. The second priority is love. Peter says in verse 8, above all things, priority or have constant love for one another. You know, my King James Version translates this verse as charity. Doesn't use the word love, uses the word charity. Doesn't always do that. Sometimes it uses the word love, but uses the word here, charity. And I like that, because charity has to do with giving. And when Peter talks about fervent love here, he's talking about forgiveness, but he's also talking about expecting nothing in return. Love, forgiving love, as we tried to argue last week, is a form of active spiritual warfare and humanly impossible apart from the grace of God. And then third, Peter says, be hospitable. Use hospitality to one another, particularly in the day we're living in. Christ-centered hospitality that refreshes. Well, there's a fourth priority I want to talk about for a little bit this morning, just briefly. And this is a huge one, and we'll cover it succinctly. The fourth priority is simply to serve, or to serve one another. Let me read those verses again. As each one, verse 10, has received a gift, minister it, serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another using your spiritual gift. And this is where I need to repeat this point again. I honor the giver, Christ, by using his gift. I honor Christ when I'm serving, when I'm using whatever ability God gave me to minister to one another. Now, I want to look at this priority a little bit. I want to give you five bullet points that are on your outline. Then I want to return next hour, and there's a few of us that will stay here, and I want to talk about miraculous gifts, all right, a little bit, the sign gifts. And if you stay, there's basically three positions when it comes to the miraculous gifts today. That's the tongues and signs and prophecy and things. There's at least three perspectives. And there's a perspective that these sign gifts have ceased in operation today at the close of the Bible or the end of the apostolic age. The man I admire a lot,
Dr. John MacArthur takes that position. And then there's another position, and that position is all the gifts are in operation today. And some good Bible teachers hold that position. We'll talk about that. And then there's a third position. This solves a lot of problems, but it's not biblical, I don't think. There's a third position that all spiritual gifts have ceased. I had a professor at college, and he was teaching down at Dallas, and he believed that, why pick and choose? He believed that at the end of the apostolic age, Dr. Gene gets, all the gifts have ceased. I don't believe that view at all, because if we're going to take that view, you have to throw out most of the New Testament, or if not all the Old Testament. So we'll do that later on. We'll do that next hour. So you could grab some coffee, and we'll talk about gifts and have some fun there. Five bullet points, and this is really... I like this first one. I want you to notice the context in which Peter is giving instructions for spiritual gifts. This is great. The context, as I wrote out for you, is the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. 40 days after resurrection, where did Jesus go? Where'd he go? We need to talk more about this. You know, my son's in a liturgical time type of church. They talk about the ascension all the time. We're in an independent Baptist type churches. We hardly talk about the ascension. 40 days after resurrection, Jesus went back to heaven. He went back to take his rightful position, right hand of the throne. And that's why Peter says all things are set. All things are set in motion. Why? Because of the ascension. Because of where Jesus is and what he's doing right now. Peter must have had the ascension in mind. He had to when he's talking about gifts. And I say that, Mike, because of what's going on in Ephesians 4. Everybody find Ephesians 4. This is a great passage. Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about spiritual gifts in relation to the ascension. It's a great picture here. Ephesians chapter 4. We have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that he's ascended, you know what it means? It means he came down to accomplish his goal. He defeated death, sin, and Satan. Went back victoriously, waiting for the time when the Father will say, go, go back, go finish bringing people back. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to break into verse number 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. The more we look at the ascension, the more glorious this gets, and the more, hopefully, the more confidence you'll have in the sovereignty of God as you look at the ascension ministries of Christ. You know, you'll get drawn away from all the nonsense that's in the media all the time and everything else when you figure out, and it gets into your soul, who's really ruling the universe, all right? Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each of us, that's every Christian, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We're talking about spiritual grace gifts here, and I'll define those in a moment or so. Therefore, he says, and Paul quotes from Psalm 68:18 here, that he'll refer to, use it to refer to Christ. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and did what? Gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, verse 9, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up, the edifying of the body of Christ. What's going on here? Paul uses a picture familiar back in his day of a victorious leader. Maybe he's a king. Maybe he's a general. He's gone into the enemy territory, maybe another country, maybe another section of the country he's in to do battle. He has amazing battle. He comes up with victory. He wins. And in those days, when you win, when you conquer your enemy, you just don't go home. What do? You take the spoils. What were the spoils in those days? What do you think they brought back?
Food,
livestock, jewelry, money, slaves even. They brought all kinds of things back. And when the victorious king or leader would come back, they would have this parade. And during the parade, they would honor him and all the other people who served with him. And during the parade, during the celebration, the leader, the general, the king, would distribute the gifts. Everybody benefits from the victory. You ever been somewheres
where they started throwing things out in celebration. You ever been there? We all do that sometimes. You're just, I don't know what. I've been at the York Revolution game, and they're throwing out, you know, they weren't throwing out baseball bats at the time, but, you know, what were they throwing out?
T-shirts
and, you know, and just celebration. Well, this was great. This was great because everybody celebrated the victory that the king or the general ascertained for them. That's what Jesus is doing. Jesus came down. He conquered, as we said, sin, Satan, death. He goes back to the throne victorious. And when he gets back to the throne at the ascension, he begins to give gifts. And when did this first happen? At Pentecost, day of Pentecost, right? When the Spirit of God was given in a unique way. And I believe, the Bible says, that this continues even today. I believe when a person places their faith in Christ, part of the salvation package is they are given a great, at least one grace gift for service. And when Peter's reflecting on everything's all set, the ascension's in place, it's time to minister to one another for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, let me look at two motivations for serving one another. Two motivations for using your gift, okay? Because you go to Corinth and find that they didn't have the right motivations when they were using their gifts that time. I have a fellow I'm discipling. He's reading through 1 Corinthians now, and it's just sometimes we complain about how bad it is today. It was really bad back then in that kind of church. That's the church. Would you want to go to that church, lead singing that church? No. They had every sin going on in the church, even worse. I mean, wow. Two motivations. Number one, the motivation of love or charity. I like charity. Love or charity for serving one another. This charity, just this love, serves others and expects nothing in return, or the quid pro quo concept. What's that mean? I had to ask my son Joe. He's into all this legalese. What does quid pro quo mean?
Scratch my back, I'll scratch.
Yeah, you know, you invite me over, I'll invite you over. You scratch my back, I'll scratch. You know, none of that. None of that. It serves expecting nothing in return. That's biblical love. In other words, when you were given a grace gift, it was not meant for you. It was meant for others. And I have a hard time with that sometimes, you know. The Corinthian church had a really hard time with that because they loved their own gifts. Have you ever been given a gift that wasn't for you? Did your grandma ever show up with something and you were the first one there and said, here, this is for you, but share it with everybody? And if you're from a large family, that's no fun. No? Believe me. I mean, I've been given things, and I go hide it right away. If something to eat, you know, here's something, here's a present for you, but make sure you share it with everybody. Man, it's down the cellar somewhere, it's in the corner. My son, another Bob Jones CPA down there, I love that stuff. They're down there. He gave me, he's been doing this every year. He's been giving me the gift of citrus from Hales Grove. You know anything about Hales Grove in Florida? Hales Grove, I don't get paid to say this, is probably get paid not to say it. Hales Grove is one of the finest distributors of Florida citrus. I mean, they do a stellar job. In fact, if you get the citrus in the mail and you don't like the way it looks, they'll send you more. All right? And so I'm tempted to leave it in the mailbox for a couple days and then, you know, no, I don't do that. But John said, you know, my birthday is on Christmas. He said he sent me a little card and says, for your Christmas present for the next 6 months, you're going to get a box of citrus from Hales Grove. I mean, this stuff is really, really good. But one day I came home and I found my wife eating my oranges. She's not here. I can tell you that. You know, well. And that was my first reaction. That was one of the good reactions, Doc, was it? Well, it's not a good reaction. Hey, what you be eating my oranges for? That's my present. Oh, well, you know how that goes. All right. There's a second motivation here. And how many times has someone, you know, you give kids something, you know, anyhow, we're learning. Second motivation is something we rarely talk about today. We talk about love a little bit, but we don't talk about stewardship. We do not talk about stewardship. Look at chapter 4, 1 Peter. I'm back to 1 Peter. Chapter 4, latter part of verse 10. Peter writes, and bring your Bibles to church, okay? As good stewards This refers to every Christian, okay? Every Christian. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Stewards or stewardship. What is a steward? What is a steward?
Caretaker.
What else? That's good. I have a new whiteboard I can start using. See that thing over there? We're going to start putting it up here. Forget PowerPoint. What else? Can help guide people, okay.
A steward, yeah, oh, yeah, that kind.
Okay. A steward, in when Peter was writing in his day, was a slave who was responsible to handle the master's property. You know that, right? It was not his property. He did not own it. And he got in trouble. You and I get in trouble when we forget that we're not the owner, all right? We start acting like the owner, all right? That happens after a while. No, no, no. We're managers, we're stewards, and diligence and responsibility was expected. In fact, steward and stewardship directly implies accountability. The steward, the responsible slave, was going to have to give an accounting one day as to how he managed the property. How many parables did Jesus tell about this? All right, and sometimes they're wonderful, and sometimes we're like, we cringe when we read them. You and I, every believer in Jesus Christ, is going to give an account one day for how we manage the gift God has given us at the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it will not be determined there whether you go to heaven or hell. That has been determined already. You will not appear at the great white throne. You will appear at the judgment seat of Christ, the bema or the bema seat, if you like, and we will be evaluated. And you will either be reprimanded there, you won't lose salvation, you may lose reward, or you will be rewarded for your faithfulness as a good steward or manager of God's property, God's gift, all right? And so when Peter tells you and I to keep on serving one another, I want to go to my third bullet point here. He's talking about using your spiritual grace gift, your spiritual gift, all right, your spiritual ability. Verse 10, he says here, as each one, that in the Greek and in the English is in the emphatic position. In other words, Peter wants everyone to know that everybody has a gift. Everybody's responsible here. I'm going to say a word about that in a moment, all right? Every believer has been given a spiritual grace gift to serve, which means every Christian is vital to the body of Christ. You are important. Every believer is important. And we don't believe that at times. We think someone else is important. We're not. No. Every believer, according to Scripture, is very, very important. There are no worthless believers. And every believer needs to serve and work together for the body of Christ. A spiritual gift, I'm going to give you MacArthur's definition and Dr. Grudem's definition. They're basically the same. Dr. MacArthur, I went to bed last night listening to John MacArthur. You know, I'm on to something. He was in 1982. You remember 1982? Dr. MacArthur was put on trial for being a heretic in Limerick, Pennsylvania, 1982. So, boy, that was more fun than a baseball game because I don't like going to sports events. But we all went to Limerick, Pennsylvania, and we watched for several hours where they put Dr. MacArthur on the stage, and some guys were trying to prove that he was a heretic in his teaching, and he just Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse. It was wonderful. I have those tapes or CDs if you like to listen to them. It'd be worth your time. But anyhow, Dr. MacArthur says a spiritual gift is a divine enablement for ministry to the body of Christ. A spiritual gift is a divine enablement for ministry to the body of Christ. Dr. Wayne Grudem, who's written theology, he said, a spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and is used in the ministry of the church. And both men and the Bible teaches for sure, these were given to you at conversion by the Spirit of God through the resurrected, ascended Christ. There's about, if you do a study, and we'll mention this in the next hour, there's about 20 spiritual gifts mentioned. But most Bible teachers agree there's no exhaustive list. There's probably more than 20 because when you look at personalities and you look at abilities, we used to be able to use snowflake in a positive way. Every believer is sort of unique
in the way they're gifted and the way they ministered. You may want to jot these chapters. I'll just give you the chapters, and you can look at these later on, and we'll look at them during the next hour. Spiritual gifts are found in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and in 1 Peter 4. Okay, 12, 12, 4, 4. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. And the purpose is to serve and equip the body of Christ, serving one another. Now, number four. Let me give you a couple ancient and current day concerns. Our guys on Wednesday were reading through this month of July. We're reading through Ecclesiastes, and that's a fun book to read through. It's a challenging book to read too. And one of the things, or chapter one, right out of the gate, Solomon says there is nothing new where
under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun. Okay, so these concerns were true back then. They're true now. They're not new problems, okay? Anyhow, and here's some things to be concerned about when it comes to spiritual gifts. Number one, there has been and continues to be neglect. Spiritual gifts are often just neglected due to ignorance, due to a low view of the body of Christ, probably other reasons. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it seemed that even Timothy was neglecting his ability a little bit. And Paul says to Timothy, you know, fan into flame the gift that was given you when I laid our hands on you. There's been neglect, all right? And you can change that. Number two, second thing, there has been and continues to be abuse. Abuse. Neglect on one end, abuse on the other end. We find this in the Corinthian church. There's all kind of crazy stuff going on there in chapter 12 and chapter 14. Paul had to correct, and he had to drop chapter 13, the matter there to minister to one another, the love chapter there. They were abusing things. We see that today. If you turn on Christian TV, you could find all kind of stuff going on 24 hours a day. And you know, I wasn't going to put this under the abuse category, but sometimes we can abuse spiritual gifts by trying to jam somebody into something that they don't belong. They're not gifted to do something area, and we put them there. And when you discuss spiritual gifts, you know that there's a lot of things we may not be gifted in, but we're told to do anyhow, or you'll find that in the New Testament. But sometimes we have a need in the church, and we just want a body there, whether they're gifted or not. My father was not a gifted teacher. He just was not. He was a great song leader. He was a lot of fun. He had the gift of helps and service and all that kind of stuff. But he just was not a teacher. And they needed a high school teacher. So guess where Dad spent his career teaching? The high school class. The guys want to talk about his Ford. That's what they want to talk about. But they put him there. It was a little frustrating. Let me talk about the third, because this really concerns me, because I'm part of the problem for sure here. And I'll probably just mention this. There's the created, and it was back in Peter's day, there's a created Christian celebrity issue. There's a created Christian celebrity issue. You know what we mean by Christian celebrity? We take someone who's gifted, particularly in the speaking areas, and Peter will talk about speaking and serving gifts. We'll take someone who's gifted in teaching or speaking, and we put them on a pedestal. All right, we buy the books, we buy the recordings, we listen to them. I quote them all the time. I go get my Bible signed. And what we do is, what we have created, particularly in the American culture, we have created Christian rock stars. And you know what's been happening during this last couple seasons? The arrogance has risen, and a lot of these celebrities are crashing and burning. And it's their fault, but it's our fault, because we put them on these pedestals. I do it all the time. I got an email from one yesterday. I think, oh, wow, this is great. It creates arrogance. Two passages here in 1 Corinthians. There's a lot to talk about here, but I just mentioned this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, they were doing this way back because... In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, rather 12. Yeah, here's what I want. Yeah, 11 and 12. 1 Corinthians 1. Paul writes, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren." He's going to jump right into the problem. by those of Chloe's household, somebody sent me a text and told me there are contentions among you. You're not getting along. There is friction in the flock big time. And here it is. It's a celebrity issue here. Now, I say this, that each of you says, I'm a Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm a Cephas, or the real spiritual group here said what? I'm a Christ. I'm of Christ. And he goes on to deal with that. Deal with that one. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Write this verse down if you can't find it that quickly. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 tells us the attitude, the motivation of these apostles. I was thinking a lot about this last week, and I wonder what the great preacher Charles Spurgeon would think if they knew how they've idolized him and made a celebrity out of him. They're wearing his t-shirt with him on and smoking Spurgeon cigars, all kind of stuff out there. And all he wanted to be was just a servant of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Listen to this, and this ought to be our testimony, every believer. For 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Paul wrote, "For we do not preach ourselves." It's not about us. It's not about our party spirit. It's not about our denomination. It's not about our uniqueness. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. What's Paul saying? It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. It's not about us. It's not about us. And one of the problems, or there's a lot of problems with the Christian celebrity culture, is that the spotlight is totally off the Lord Jesus Christ. I went to see one of these guys several years ago out in Lancaster. My buddy said, hey, this guy's coming out. It was on a vertical tour, vertical ministry. The book was best-selling. They had a praise band, the whole thing, bestseller videos. And so I went out to Lancaster. It was a free breakfast. It was great out there. You know the place. It's right off of 30. What's the fancy place there? It was nice. Anyhow, and the guy came in. He had that big tour bus with his name all over it. And he came in. He sat on the stool with the ripped jeans. And, you know, I dressed nicer to cut my lawn than these guys dressed to preach in. I don't get that. But he sat up there and, you know, the DAC was doing an interview with him. And he threw out free books to everybody in attendance. I want to go up and say hello to him. He was gone. He was on that tour bus and off to the next gig. And a couple years later, you can Google him. He crashed. He's burning. And he's still trying to come back. Why is he doing that? We created that. We created that monster. We created that monster. Well, let me do number five. Because perhaps the celebrity issue is another issue. How do I use my gift? How do I discover it? How do I discover it? That's the question, how? Well, a couple of suggestions here, and we'll talk more in the second hour, perhaps. I believe when it comes to the area of grace gifts, we need to take it by faith that the Bible says we have one. We need to believe that is true, okay? We need to just do it. We just go serve one another. Second thing, whether I understand the exact grace gift I have or not, I just need to get out and serve. I just need to find someone to serve. Serve another believer. Serve in the church. Help. Help somebody, okay? Get out serving. A third thing is, I need to focus on Christ in his church. I really need to put that priority one in a day where everything's scattered. The body of Christ. Fourth, I need to study the passages in Scripture that deal with the spiritual gifts. And I need to understand the importance of every believer functioning. Every believer functioning. Because so often, as I said last week, we come into an event and we sing a couple songs, we listen to a lecture, we give some money, and we go home, and that's not New Testament ministry, all right? That is not New Testament ministry. It's part of it, but there's an awful lot of that lacking. And I need to, if I'm going to understand my gift, what is it, how do I use it, how can I develop it, I need to spend time with enough believers who get to know me, who can see what I'm doing, what I'm good at, what I can be placed in. It's amazing getting one another, and that's why that hospitality is so important. Remember, the point I'm trying to get across this morning, one of them,
is that I honor the giver. You honor the giver by using his gifts. You get that? I honor the giver. That's Christ when I use his gifts. Several years ago, my children got together and they sent me a little paper and they said, for a special gift for you, we're going to give you a snowblower for your special birthday. Whatever it was a birthday. We're going to give you a snowblower. How many would agree that that's a gift you hope you never have to use? You know, one of those things. So I have a son who's real corporate, another one of the Bob Jones guys. He's real corporate, and he saw what they were going to give me. He said, no, we're going to get Dad a really good one, not one of those toy, you know, Fisher-Price snowblowers. We're going to get him a, you know, a big one. And they did. They really did. And, you know, I don't like it when it snows up in Dover because I just don't like it because I have this driveway that no matter what's on it, you can't get up it. So, you know, when every time it snows, my wife makes me get out the snowblower. Why? Because she likes to hear the noise and smell the fumes and all that. Why does she make me do that? Yeah, that's right. You know, my wife's the kind of thing, no matter what the kids, the grandkids is worth, she's down there living large, I tell her right now. They can give her anything. She'll wear it or eat it or get all excited about it. Why? Because you honor the giver by using the gifts. And so, okay, so we start the machine. I start the machine. I get it out there. You know the routine. I have to make sure it's ready in the summer to use it in the wintertime. And it starts, and I get out there, and, you know, I get my gloves on, my hat on. She gets the camera, takes pictures, sends it to all the kids because she wants them to know that we appreciate that. We appreciate that. I found something cool in my neighborhood. When that snowmobile, not mobile, blower, right? Am I saying snowmobile? No, it's a snow blower. Snowmobile is coming next time. You know, that'd be great too. I found when I have this snow blower cranking, and you just go to all the neighbors, it's cool being able to use that gift to help other people. Boy, there's great joy in that. There's great joy, particularly when we're on a run out and pay you. No. We're just doing this to help because we can. That's a lot of fun, isn't it? And you know the same is true in your life. You know if certain people give you something, you're going to go out of your way to use to express appreciation. You honor the giver by using his gifts. And part of our worship, part of our adoration to the Lord Jesus Christ is finding out where we need to serve and serving one another for his honor and glory. I want to cover the rest of this next time, but Peter says at the end of the verse here, at the end of verse 11, that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When you're serving one another, understanding the time is in place, you're bringing honor and glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the overall intention. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Two questions. Are you serving? If not, why not? We need to be serving one another. You're saying, well, I really don't know what my spiritual gift is. You just start serving. We'll figure that out later, okay? You get serving. Serving the body of Christ. Second question, are you trusting Christ? Are you trusting Christ this morning? It breaks my heart at times. I rejoice, but it breaks my heart when I hear of someone who attends a church that does not preach the gospel. And I was spending some time with our missionary friend who was here last week, and he grew up in a church that wasn't preaching the gospel at all. Nice music, nice building, nice people, but no gospel. And praise God, he heard the gospel. But another thing that breaks my heart is being in a church where the Bible's loved, where the gospel's proclaimed, where there's people there who have not trusted Christ through negligence. I want to urge you this morning. I want to plead with you this morning. If you've never turned from whatever you're trusting in and placed your faith in Christ, you need to do that today. Tim talked about the value, the significance of Independence Day. Brian talked about the King. You need to trust Christ and Christ alone. Believe in your heart that when Christ died on that cross, the eternal Son of God died for sinners, died for your sin. And the Bible says it just takes a glance, look and live. As Moses was lifted up, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But all who look to the Son in faith will have everlasting life. My friend, flee to Christ today. Flee to Christ today. Believe in your heart that when Christ died, he died for you. Nothing else. Drop whatever you're trusting in. Drop whatever you're trusting in and flee to Christ. Father, we want to please you and we want to serve. And Father, you have lavished all kind of gifts upon us besides grace gifts, besides these spiritual gifts. Lord, you've blessed us with so many good things. We're here this morning because of your goodness. May we not take this for granted, but as we see the day in which we're living in, may we serve with our energy so that we can hear one day from you, well done. Well done. Father, give us a fresh soul consciousness through the Spirit of God that sees men and women, boys and girls around us as needing the gospel. And perhaps they need to hear it from us. And perhaps we do that today in Jesus' name. Amen.